Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Something Old, Something New by J.B. Lynn. Narrated by Colleen Marlowe. Prologue. I can't live here anymore. Amanda Concordia's head shot up to look at her younger sister, Winnie. She and her sisters were gathered around the cash register of one woman's junk consignment shop. To anybody passing by the store, it would have looked like they were having a heart-to-heart. But to Amanda, it felt like her heart was breaking. After all, they'd only just recently reconnected, and now Winnie wanted to break up the band again. Before she could respond, Winnie continued, "We don't have to live together to do things together." Even though she delivered the proclamation matter-of-factly, Amanda could feel Winnie's doubt and anxiety. Bea, their youngest sister, perched on a stool behind the checkout counter, had a lot to say about this new announcement.
"That's not what Letty wanted. She brought us all together. She wants us to be together."
The middle Concordia sister stared down at her hands, fiddling nervously with the sketching pencil. "We are stronger together," Amanda reminded Winnie quietly. Winnie looked up, a spasm of guilt passing over her face.
"I never wanted to be here," she reminded them. "We came to settle Letty's estate, not to run a consignment shop in a town where the average temperature hovers just below that of hell."
"It's not that bad," Bea argued. "Everyone says she'll acclimate to the heat."
Winnie raised her head defiantly.
"What if I don't want to acclimate? You're forgetting that I didn't choose to work in this place. Letty got herself killed and I came to clean up the mess."
Amanda flinched at her sister's tone.
"Letty didn't choose to be murdered," Bea spouted off, exasperated. "And we all showed up. You're not the only one who put your life on hold."
Winnie pushed herself off where she'd been leaning on the counter and gave her younger sister a hard look.
"What did you give up coming here?" she mocked. "You showed up penniless, friendless, and needing a wheelchair to get around because of some stupid stunt you tried. Now you've got a job and a boyfriend. Don't try to tell me that things are worse for you here."
Bea flinched beneath the attack. Feeling how badly Winnie's words had stung their younger sister, Amanda stepped into the fray. "She was just saying that ending up here was unexpected for all of us."
Winnie turned on her. "There's a difference between unexpected and unwelcome." With that, she stalked out of the store, causing the bell over the door to jangle.
"That lass has a wee bit of a temper,"
Angus, the tartan cap-wearing Loch Ness statue who guarded the door to the shop while holding an ashtray, said in his thick Scottish brogue. Nutmeg, the scruffy brown dog, whined,
"Mad."
"What did he say?"
Bea asked, glancing over at the dog who was hiding under a table loaded with handbags.
"He said he's mad," Amanda translated.
While her sisters could now have conversations with inanimate objects, they still couldn't understand the dog, or ghosts.
"That's an understatement."
Bea scowled at the door as though Winnie stood in the doorway.
"It's been a lot of changes," Amanda said carefully. "For all of us."
Bea shook her head.
"But most of them have been good."
Hearing a low chuckle behind her, Amanda turned to look at Rupert, the shop's ghost. Wearing his seersucker suit, he sat atop a collection of carefully displayed kitchenwares, swinging his legs back and forth.
"Your sister seems to have forgotten that you were almost killed a few times," he pointed out.
"Are you talking to the ghost?"
Bea asked. Amanda nodded, turning her attention back to her sister.
"He was reminding me that we've almost been killed a couple of times since coming here. It hasn't been all good."
"I didn't say it was all good," Bea pouted. "But look at all the good that's happened. We're sisters again. We've got our powers. And we met Auntie Amity and..."
"Harmony has told you she doesn't want to be called that,"
Amanda interrupted to remind her.
"And we stopped crimes and solved murders," Bea continued, undaunted. "And I met Ash, and you met Tom."
She batted her eyelashes and covered her heart with her hands, pretending to swoon. Amanda's cheeks grew warm at the thought of Detective Tom Keller. With the exception of her renewed relationship with her family, he was definitely the high point of living in Sarasota.
"And we've got the store."
Bea glanced around at the collection of resale items.
"Winnie hates the store," Amanda pointed out.
"She doesn't like dealing with customers. She could be perfectly happy sitting upstairs doing the books."
Amanda shook her head slowly.
"I don't think so. She's always wanted more. This is a big step down for her. She owned her own advertising company."
Which he lost, Bee reminded her.
Let's not mention that.
Bee pounded lightly on the counter 3 times.
I don't want her to leave.
Amanda caught her breath as a wave of her youngest sister's sadness hit her.
Neither do I. But if we hold her back, she could very well grow to resent us.
Bee hung her head in silent acknowledgement that Amanda was right. A big fat tear splashed onto the counter. Amanda walked around the counter and hugged her sister tightly.
One way or another, it will all work out.
That's what Letty used to say, Bee choked out.
Amanda swallowed the lump that rose in her throat at the mention of their godmother, who'd raised them and bequeathed this shop. They clung to each other for a long moment, each grieving the departure of Winnie.
If Winnie leaves, maybe Rena could move back in here,
Bee sniffled. Amanda chuckled at the mention of the homeless teenager who was currently staying with Bee and Ash.
You want some privacy, but don't think I deserve some of my own?
I didn't mean,
Bee began defensively.
I'm just kidding,
Amanda assured her.
We'll figure out what to do about Rena.
Startled by the jangling of the bell over the shop's door, they turned to see who had entered. Come quick, Winnie said, her eyes wild. Her panic hit Amanda square in the chest, making it hard for her to breathe. She stumbled back a step from the intensity pounding at her.
What's wrong?
Bee asked worriedly.
It's Rena, Winnie said. They're looking for her.
Who?
Amanda gasped. Winnie glanced around, making sure there was no one else in the shop.
The cops! They say she's wanted for attempted murder.
1. Without waiting, Winnie raced back outside. Bee hobbled out after her, leaving Amanda to close up the shop.
Do you know anything about this?
Amanda asked Rupert, as she struggled to wrestle Angus inside the store.
I'm fond of the wee one,
Angus boomed.
Not you,
Amanda muttered. The ghost.
It's news to me,
Rupert assured her. She squinted at him suspiciously. He'd always seemed to be concerned about the girl's well-being. He raised his hands defensively.
I don't follow her around all the time. I don't know what kind of trouble she's gotten herself into this time.
This time?
You should go see what's going on,
he muttered, and then drifted outside.
Take me!
A voice shouted. Looking around, Amanda spotted Pim, a black sheep figurine who was missing half his face, on the bookshelf. Grabbing him, she locked the door and raced to Perk Up, the coffee shop where she assumed the cops were asking patrons about the teen. Her hand flew up to shield her eyes from the sun's unrelenting glare. One thing she couldn't argue with Winnie about was how hot Sarasota got. She could hear the raised voices of her sisters before she even stepped through the door.
I'm her alibi, Bee was insisting.
I don't even know when the crime took place,
a familiar voice drolly retorted. Amanda winced, realizing that Tom was conducting the investigation. His gaze slid over to her as she slipped inside the shop, his expression unreadable. Then he returned his attention to the younger Concordia sister. She balled her hands into fists, hating that she wasn't sure what he considered their relationship to be. She hadn't been looking for love when she'd arrived in town, but she thought she might have found it. She just wasn't sure if he felt the same.
We know Rena, Winnie insisted. She wouldn't do this.
Tom, wearing a gray dress shirt, cocked his head to the side.
And what's the this you think she's accused of?
Murder,
Bee said breathlessly. Attempted murder, Winnie corrected, elbowing her sister in the ribs. His face not giving anything away, Tom glanced between the two of them.
And where did you hear that?
He asked. Amanda swallowed a grin at how hard he was working to remain patient and professional. At the same time, she couldn't help but notice that the coffee shop smelled even more inviting than usual, as though cookies were baking in the ovens in the back. But she knew Piper didn't bake her own. Winnie's gaze slid sideways, settling for a brief moment on Piper, the owner of Perk Up, who had her head down, studiously pretending to study a computer printout. Rupert, unseen by everyone else, hovered over her shoulder, listening intensely to the conversation.
Did you tell them that, Piper?
Tom asked, his tone deceptively light. The pigtailed barista swallowed hard before nodding slightly.
That's what Slade Rogers said,
she murmured defensively. Tom closed his eyes and took a breath. Amanda assumed that was to prevent himself from either rolling his eyes or saying something less than complimentary.
You know, Rena wouldn't have done anything like that, Tom,
Piper added, joining the chorus of those protesting the girl's implied guilt.
I'm just doing my job,
Tom said tiredly. He opened his eyes and glanced at Amanda again. She nodded, signaling she believed him.
If you do see her, call me, he told the sisters firmly. Don't even think about hiding her. Things will get resolved much quicker if she just answers some basic questions.
He frowned at Piper.
That goes for you, too. And don't even think about playing the almost family card.
He made his way toward the door. Amanda quickly stepped aside so that he could leave.
I'll call you,
he murmured under his breath as he passed her. Once he was gone, Piper asked, Coffee? You can taste test the new cookies. Bee blanched and then sank into the nearest chair.
I'm never eating a cookie again.
Amanda felt a surge of pity for her. Every time Bee had eaten the other cookies Piper had served, she'd had a terrible experience with the room spinning and her seeing a vision of a skull and crossbones. That's because they'd been made by Matt, the baker who'd killed his own wife and been involved in their godmother Letty's murder. Her stomach churned at the thought of Matt and Greta, the one who'd actually paid someone to murder their godmother. They were sitting in jail, awaiting trial, and his bakery sat empty and unused. Don't worry, Piper assured them, bringing out a plate of heart-shaped sugar cookies.
These were made by a totally different source.
She winked at Winnie as she put them down on Bee's table.
Let me get the coffee.
While Winnie helped the coffee shop owner carry over steaming mugs, Amanda slid into the seat opposite Bee.
Tom likes Rena, Piper said as she and Winnie took the other two seats at the table. He wouldn't try to jam her up.
She took a cookie, nibbled on the edge, and smiled.
But, Bee began to protest.
He was looking for her,
Amanda interrupted. He didn't say anything about arresting her, just asking some questions.
This from the one who was convinced he was the enemy, Winnie mocked.
She blew across the top of her mug.
Everyone makes mistakes, Amanda said. I just happen to make bigger ones than other people.
She, too, grabbed a sweet treat.
Do we even know who she's accused of trying to kill?
Winnie asked. Feeling the need to defend Tom, Amanda interjected, He didn't say she was accused. Winnie gave her a withering look. Amanda bit into her cookie.
Oh, this is good.
You sound surprised, Piper murmured.
Well, no, I mean, Amanda began awkwardly. I'm sure you're looking to serve good things here, but this is better than expected.
Great texture in that lemon note. Lemon was Letty's favorite. She would have absolutely loved these.
She regretted making the observation aloud as the sadness settled over the table. Bee, unable to resist discovering what she was missing out on, snatched up a heart and took a big bite. Her eyes rolled back.
Grab her,
Amanda warned, afraid she'd fall out of her chair. Instinctively, Winnie and Piper did as they were told. Bee's eyes snapped open.
This is sublime.
Winnie shook her head. It's a cookie.
It's a sublime cookie, Bee insisted, covering her mouth as she talked with it full of cookie.
Piper jumped up from the table and hurried behind the baked goods counter.
You need to try the acorns.
Do you know who was attacked?
Amanda asked, trying again to get a handle on what was happening.
Slade didn't say.
Piper's voice was muffled as she was bent over.
Just that she's the prime suspect.
Who is this Slade character?
Binny asked, fiddling with the amethyst bracelet that Letty had bequeathed her. Beaming, Piper returned to the table, carrying another plate.
A patrolman. I don't care who said it, Bee said firmly. Rena wouldn't attack anyone.
But she would protect someone,
Rupert whispered in Amanda's ear. Startled by his nearness, Amanda jumped, spilling her coffee across the table.
Save the cookies,
Bee yelled, grabbing the plate of hearts and holding it overhead. Winnie and Amanda dabbed at the coffee with paper napkins from the dispenser, trying in vain to keep the tide of brown liquid from spreading.
Got it,
Piper announced, dropping the dish towel that was normally tucked into the pocket on her chintz-covered apron onto the mess.
Disaster averted. Sorry,
Amanda apologized.
No worries, Piper said with a grin. Have an acorn. You'll forget all your problems.
She offered a plate of acorn-shaped cookies with chocolate-dipped caps. Bee, balancing the plate of lemon hearts in one hand, grabbed the newest offering eagerly.
Thank you,
Amanda murmured, taking one.
You're going to love it, Piper promised with a big grin. Oh, my God.
Bee dropped the plate onto the table with a clatter.
This is even better.
Curious, Amanda tasted hers.
Is there marzipan in the dough?
Piper settled back into her seat.
I believe so.
An
Amanda loves marzipan, Bee said while chewing. When we were kids, Winnie used to make her little almond paste figures for Valentine's Day. She made a whole collection of barnyard animals. Remember that?
Amanda nodded, smiling fondly at her middle sister. Winnie, looking embarrassed, stared into her coffee cup.
Suddenly, Bee reached out and grabbed Winnie's arm tightly. You can't leave. You can't leave while Rena's being accused of murder.
She's not being accused, Amanda corrected.
Bee flashed an angry look, designed to silence her, then returned her attention to their middle sister. Promise you won't win? I've got a very strong feeling that we need to do this together.
Piper's eyebrows shot up.
Like a psychic feeling?
Winnie rolled her eyes. I wish you wouldn't sound so excited about that.
2. Bee hung behind when Amanda and Winnie went back to one woman's junk, staring glumly at the moss-agate ring she wore. It had been left to her by Letty and was the conduit for her psychic abilities, but at the moment, she was feeling powerless.
Refill?
Piper offered from behind the counter.
Please, Bee sighed. I need it.
Piper carried over two more cups of steaming brew and settled into the seat opposite her.
I'm sure Tom will sort this thing with Rena out. It's not just that. Winnie's talking about leaving town.
Really? Piper's tone was so sharp that Bee blinked. Piper offered an apologetic smile.
Sorry, I'm just surprised to hear that. I thought she was settling in, making a new start. She hates the shop.
Waving her hand in the air, Piper said,
I'm sure she doesn't hate it.
She hates dealing with the public,
Bee amended, wrapping her hands around the warm mug. Piper nodded.
But can't she just do the books and ordering and things like that? That's what Amanda and I told her, but she seems determined to leave.
Bee dabbed at her eyes with a paper napkin. Reaching across the table, Piper comforted her by patting her arm. Bee grabbed her friend's hand. Her voice shook as she confessed,
I don't want to lose her again.
Piper made a comforting sound, but didn't say anything.
I'm being a baby,
Bee declared, sitting up straighter and blinking away tears.
It's selfish of me to want her to stay somewhere she's unhappy.
I don't think so, Piper said. You were estranged for a long time, and now you've reconnected. It's an understandable response to want Winnie to stick around. Honestly, it doesn't make sense.
She trailed off, staring into space.
What doesn't make sense?
Bee asked, confused. Piper shook her head, getting to her feet.
I've got to take care of customers.
She hurried over to the counter to take the order of the young hipster couple who were staring up at the menus scrawled on chalkboards in pastel chalks. Bee drank her coffee and finished the last lemon cookie, trying to figure out how she could convince Winnie to stay. When she was done, she left Perk up and went over to Sea Sand and Psychics. Maybe Harmony had some suggestions on how to keep her sister in town. Even though the clothes sign was facing out, the door was unlocked, so she let herself into the shop. Her nose wrinkled at the pungent scent of patchouli as she stepped inside the shop.
Hello?
Just a second, Harmony called back.
While she waited, Bee examined the myriad of colorful crystals for sale. After a few moments, Harmony emerged from the back room, smoothing her hair.
If it isn't my youngest niece.
Hi, Aunt Emity,
Bee said with a grin.
Harmony, her aunt corrected. I prefer to be called Harmony. We've been over this.
Hank, the local handyman and Harmony's paramour, emerged from the back room, hitching up his belt.
Hi, Bee.
Bee's cheeks warmed as she realized she'd probably interrupted her aunt and Hank's intimate moment, and she focused her attention on picking up a bundle of sage.
Hi, Hank.
I'll see you later,
he told Harmony before exiting the store.
Can I ask you a question? Bee asked, putting the sage back down.
Only if you tell me what's bothering you first, Harmony retorted. Your aura is dim.
Bee tilted her head, curious.
You can see auras?
Harmony rolled her eyes.
What's on your mind?
It's two things, really, Bee admitted. First is that the cops seem to think Rena assaulted someone.
Who?
Bee shrugged.
I don't know.
Brows knit together. Harmony scowled.
Rena's a sweet girl. I don't think she'd attack anyone.
Bee nodded vigorously.
That's what I said.
And the other thing?
Winnie is thinking about leaving town,
Bee blurted out.
She can't,
Harmony said, a note of panic in her tone.
That's what I told her, but it seemed like her mind was made up.
Why?
She hates dealing with customers,
Bee admitted.
Let her work behind the scenes. You and Amanda are more than capable of running the front end.
We tried to tell her that.
Harmony flipped the sign on the door to open. I have a reading in a few minutes.
What kind of reading?
B asked curiously. Oracle cards.
Her eyebrows shot up. You believe in that kind of stuff?
Harmony threw back her head and laughed.
Considering you have psychic visions, why is it so hard to believe in divination?
B chuckled self-consciously.
I see your point. It's just that all this stuff is so new to us.
Harmony shook her head sadly.
I never understood why Lady didn't teach you girls. She did you a disservice.
B stiffened defensively, uncomfortable with anyone saying anything remotely negative about the beloved godmother who raised the orphaned Concordia sisters.
Maybe she was afraid that was what drove her, you know.
Perhaps, Harmony said lightly. B bit her tongue and stared at the floor. Except for the time Amanda and Harmony had to reveal the details of how their parents had actually died, no one talked about the fact that the girl's mother had apparently lost her mind.
You should go before my client arrives, Harmony said gently. I'll talk to Winnie. Letty always said she was the practical one. I'll get her to see that leaving is a bad idea.
Thanks, B said, even though she doubted their aunt held much sway over her sister.
She halted at the door and said, I didn't get to ask my question.
Ask.
Why is Hank homeless?
Harmony shook her head.
That's for him to say, not me.
But if you two are a couple...
Harmony pointed to the parking lot.
My client's here.
Realizing she wasn't going to get an answer, B left the shop. She headed toward one woman's junk, but instead of returning to the consignment store, she ducked into the carpenter's place next door. She paused and watched Ash work, admiring his muscular grace as he vigorously sanded the rocking chair he was working on. The slight sheen of perspiration on his skin made him glow.
Hey, beautiful, he called when he noticed her observing him.
He put down his sandpaper and strolled toward her with a welcoming smile. Despite her current worries, Bee found herself grinning ear to ear.
I missed you.
Ash swept her into a tight hug and pressed a kiss to the top of her head.
I'm going to be covered in sawdust, she half-heartedly protested, even as she wrapped her arms around his waist.
It's one of my favorite looks on you,
Ash joked, bending over to capture her lips with his own. The kiss was quick but passionate, making Bee's entire body tingle. Ash broke it off and took half a step back. While they were no longer actually touching, he was still close enough that she could smell the tantalizing combination of soap and sweat. She swayed closer, wanting to taste him.
Rubbing the back of his neck, he chastised, You are a major distraction, Miss Concordia. I have work to do, you know.
I know. I just wanted to see if you'd heard about Rena.
He arched an eyebrow, signaling he had not.
She's wanted for questioning regarding an assault,
B quickly supplied.
Rena?
Ash's level of disbelief matched her own. She nodded.
I'm sure Tom Keller will get it sorted.
Ash squinted at her.
You don't sound convinced.
She shrugged.
I just have a lot on my mind.
She quickly told him about Winnie's decision to move. He listened sympathetically, but offered no opinion. She wasn't sure whether she appreciated his silence or resented it. She lost track of her thoughts when he swept her up into another kiss. This one was more intense, as he pressed his body against hers, his hands making a frenzied exploration of every inch of her back before gripping her hips. This time, when he broke the kiss, he strode away, moving to stand on the other side of the rocking chair as though it could protect him from her feminine wiles.
You okay?
She flirted, watching his chest rise and fall like he was having trouble catching his breath.
Winnie, he muttered. You were talking about Winnie? If you don't want her to skip town, you shouldn't leave her alone in the shop.
B nodded.
I think you're right.
Well, I saw Amanda catch a ride a while ago, Ash said. So doesn't that mean she's alone in there right now?
3. Winnie clenched her jaw when the bell over the door jangled.
Welcome to one woman's junk, she murmured,
not looking up from the sketch of a sandcastle that she was working on.
It is your lucky day, Miss Concordia,
a familiar voice called out. She pressed too hard on her pencil, snapping off the point, almost ripping through the paper. Grudgingly, she turned to greet the man who'd entered the shop. Hello, Peabody. The quirky little man grinned at her, a gleam in his eyes.
You remember not to call me Mister.
Winnie forced the corners of her mouth upward in a smile that didn't reach her eyes.
What can I do for you?
Ask not what you can do for me, he declared dramatically, but ask what I can do for you.
Winnie let her fake smile fall. She'd much rather be working on her sketch than dealing with Peabody. Why are you here?
Love, love, love.
He spun in circles.
It's what makes the world go round.
She held her breath, waiting to see if he'd knock anything over. Miraculously, he did not.
I brought you something,
he announced when he stopped spinning. Oh? She attempted to sound vaguely interested in whatever the picker had brought to consign. While she never understood the appeal of his items, Bea had assured both her and Amanda that the strange fellow had a good eye for resale value. She made them both promise to accept anything he brought in.
It's in there,
Peabody pointed to a large cardboard box.
Close your eyes.
Winnie gulped, doing as he asked.
Keep them squeezed shut, Peabody instructed. I want to make sure you get the full effect.
Eyes closed, she listened to some strange rustling sounds.
Do you want to guess what it is?
Peabody asked, sounding pleased with himself. It's not another gazander, is it? She really wasn't in the mood to ooh and ah over another chamber pot.
Of course not. I told you it's about love.
Please don't let it be a sex toy, she muttered under her breath. She wasn't sure it was even legal to sell used sexual aids.
What's that?
Nothing, she lied smoothly while silently cursing Amanda for leaving her alone in the shop. She and Bea were more adept at dealing with Peabody and his ilk.
On the count of three, you can open your eyes, Peabody instructed. One?
Winnie took a deep breath, vowing to hold her tongue and just follow Bea's instructions to accept whatever Peabody offered.
Two?
He continued. She balled her hands into fists, shoring up her resolve.
Three!
She slowly opened one eye and took in the cloud of white twirling in front of her. Oh.
Isn't it beautiful?
Peabody stopped spinning so that she could get a better look at the wedding dress he had clutched to him. Opening her other eye, Winnie nodded slowly. Beautiful.
You can put this fantastic frock on a mannequin and place that in front of the store instead of the amorous alligator.
Alligator, Angus boomed. How dare he liken me to an alligator?
Winnie glanced at the statue. He's not an alligator. He's a Loch Ness monster.
Fine, Peabody huffed. A bride instead of the leering Loch Ness.
I do not leer, Angus protested.
You certainly do,
Pim piped up from where Amanda had left him on top of the bookcase.
This from the sheep without a face, Angus mocked.
How much do you want for it? Winnie asked, trying to focus on Peabody instead of the barbs being slung by the inanimate objects. Life had been a lot easier without that particular psychic power. She made a mental note to ask Harmony if there was a way to prevent herself from hearing them. Peabody looked around the shop.
Where's your sister?
Winnie shrugged.
The nice one, the man insisted. I want to deal with her.
Winnie raised her eyebrows. The nice one?
B, he replied guilelessly.
Sorry, the nice one isn't here, Winnie replied dryly.
She'll know what it's worth, and I trust her to give me a fair price.
He shoved the dress at Winnie.
Take it. I have to go. I'm on my way to an estate sale. I'll share a professional picker secret with you. People with million-dollar condos have the best stuff.
He hurried out of the shop, leaving her holding the frilly lace and satin concoction. What a strange little man, Winnie mused.
Hateful is more like it. Imagine being compared to a swamp creature,
Angus complained.
Swamp thing? You make my heart sing,
Pim belted out. Hush, Winnie shouted. Both of you. Just be quiet. Angus grumbled something in Gaelic and then fell silent. Winnie carefully draped the dress over the velvet-covered chair by the dressing room and went in search of a mannequin to hang it on. Finding one in the storage room, she awkwardly carried it out to the shop. It wasn't particularly heavy, but the figure was ungainly and she found herself stumbling and banging into things with it. If moving the mannequin was a challenge, dressing it felt practically impossible, especially as she tried to maneuver unbending limbs into the armholes. She stubbed her toe, bruised her shins, and ended up slumped in the velvet chair, the mannequin wedged between her legs as she wrestled with yards and yards of fabric. She was hot, sweaty, and out of breath by the time Bea burst in.
Are you okay?
Her sister asked, eyes wide. Winnie could just imagine what she looked like. She gave her sister a weak thumbs up.
What happened?
Bea asked, her gaze now on the dress. Peabody was here, Winnie explained. He said you'd know how much this was worth.
More than the singing fish.
but less than the dagger, her sister replied, referencing a few of
Sample complete. Ready to continue?